Hallowed be thy name. But before I get to that part, I want you to look with me in the book of Mark, St. Mark, in the 14th chapter. Yeah, we probably need to do something about that, Randy. Forgotten. And let's pray. Father, we come to hallowed your name tonight. The sole purpose and the sole intention of our teaching and sharing tonight is to learn what it is, what it means, and how to hallowed the name of Father. We've already sensed your spirit. We've already sensed your liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We've sensed your presence. And now we invite you to teach us and to instruct us. And Father, I sense the prayers of the saints, calling the word and the anointing to me. And Lord, I ask you now that anointing will go forth and break the yoke. You'll establish your kingdom in our lives, your righteousness, your peace, and your joy in the Holy Spirit. And Father, that we can walk in truth. And your word is truth. We ask you now to send your word into our lives and into our hearts and plant it there so it can produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That you can change our lives by the power of prayer. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, and they came to a place named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. All of a sudden, these scriptures that talking about prayer and praying and prayed just jump all out at me. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began praying, that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father. Who did Jesus pray to? Father. Abba, Father, all things are possible for thee. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. The point that I want to get here, and the reason that I'm starting here, is on the way home from service this morning, my wife informed me that I was giving the impression that you need to pray an hour. And maybe that I was giving the impression that if you're not praying an hour, you're not getting it done. And I don't want to give that at all. In fact, I want to release you from that. This passage is often used to preach people into trying to pray an hour. So what we end up doing is groaning and grunting and straining and thinking and trying to think of something or somebody or something to pray for an hour. And we can get into bondage about that, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to you. I'm learning that prayer must come out of the Spirit. Your inner room. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus by the Spirit. And that's the prayer that availeth much. The reason that this passage ministered so much to me is that it was here that the Holy Spirit showed me exactly what I was doing. I was sleeping. and the Lord was praying. Now, I know nobody's here of guilty of that. Nobody's here at all has ever done that, you know. But that's what he told me. He says, son, you're sleeping, and I ever liveth to make intercessions for you. So it quickened to me. It pricked my spirit. And so I don't pray an hour every day, every morning, just for the sake of this thing putting on me. But I've learned that if I follow the prayer outline that Jesus has given us, that it just works out to at least an hour. It takes me an hour to hurry through it. And I was talking with Steve. I've been talking to Steve this week about prayer, and he prayed this way one morning and came to me Friday, and he said, I prayed this morning. I said, really? I said, how long did it take? And he said, about an hour. I want you to know that what we're talking about is not difficult. In fact, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's moved from a discipline that I had to go through now into a total pleasure and a desire that I have to talk with Father. So I wanted to touch that, and I wanted to release you, because I'm not going to put you under any kind of condemnation. I'm not going to put you under any kind of pressure to try to get you to pray an hour every day. I'm just going to try to live an exemplified life before you, let you see what it does in my life, and then hope that it'll work the same thing in yours. What I've done is I've sanctified time, a special time, a time every day. Because you see, if I don't do that, if I don't discipline myself to sanctify a special time a day to pray, you know what I'll do? I won't pray. Now, you may or may not be guilty of that, but I was. I got so much that I want to do. And if I don't set aside a sanctified time to meet with Father and to pray and to commune with Father, then I'll keep putting it off all day long, and finally I just won't do it. Now, the thing that he said there, and I just want to hit it before we leave it, he says, pray, watch and pray. Watching's not enough, is it? Watching and praying, why? So that you will not be tempted. How many of you have been tempted lately? Anybody besides me? Well, there's you a promise. You say, have you prayed? Have you prayed? Lead me not into temptation. Ever wondered why that's in there? We'll be talking about that in a couple of weeks. Matthew chapter 6. We talked this morning of all the books written, of all the seminars on prayer, of all the teachings and all the things that could ever be taught you and told you about prayer. Nothing can be quite as valuable. Nothing can be as good and as valuable and as pertinent to prayer as what Jesus here writes to us. It's what Jesus has inspired the author of this book, Matthew, by the Holy Spirit to give to the church, to find out what prayer really is and how to pray. And there in verse 9, he says, pray then in this way. And if you have a King James Version, it says pray in this manner. He tells us this is how you do it. This is how you pray. And we talked about that this morning, and that's exactly what I want to get into. We need to learn how Jesus said to pray first before we devise our own systems of prayer, don't we? We need to learn how he said to do it and activate what he said to do before we ever try to get our own systems of prayer. He says, pray this way. And then the first thing, there's six demarcations. There's six parts or points to this outline. And the first one that he says, pray then this way, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first part of the prayer that Jesus Christ instructed his disciples, you and me, and everybody to pray is what? Our Father, which art in heaven, help me, hallowed be thy name. Now, how many times have each of us said that? My goodness. But how many of us even know what hallowed means? What does it mean to hallowed the name of Father? So that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about hallowed, and I'm hallowing the name of the Lord. Hallowed in the Strong's Concordance means to make holy. It means to purify or consecrate. It means to sanctify, to set apart, to praise, and to adore. To separate, to set apart, to praise, and to adore Father. Father. That's what hallowed means. And when Jesus teaches this, and when Jesus says, hallowed be thy name, when Jesus says, hallowed the name of Father, when he's saying this, he's talking about an intense desire that should reside and come forth out of our hearts, out of our very beings, that will want to and desire to appreciate Father. And he didn't say, our Jehovah. And he didn't say, our Jesus. And he didn't say, our Holy Spirit. What did he say? Our Father. Father. And we need to understand Abba Father. We need to know that when we come into prayer, what is he saying to us? What does it mean to spend time hallowing the name of Father? Now, I want to touch this a minute, and I've taught it extensively in the Psalms, and we've looked at it, and I'm just going to touch it tonight. But Jehovah is the Old Covenant name, and we often confuse Father and Old Covenant Jehovah. I want to try to express tonight in this short time to us, and let us see and at least plant a seed, that Jehovah is not Father. Jehovah was the Old Covenant name of the Lord. Jesus is the New Covenant name. Which covenant are you in? The New Covenant. We don't pray in the name of Jehovah. Everything that we do, whether it be in word or whether it be in deed, is done in the name of Jesus the Christ. Everything. And there is no name above His name. That's the name that we function in. We don't come to Father in the name of Jehovah. We come to Father in the name of Jesus. That's His order. Covenant's changed. It's Father that we're seeking after. It's not Jehovah. Now, what I've got to somehow cram into just these few minutes that we have together is to let us know that Jesus fulfilled Jehovah. He didn't do away with Him. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets, but I come to what? Fulfill. Now, all I'm trying to do is let us understand that Jehovah is not Father. That Jehovah is the name of the old covenant fulfilled by Jesus, the name of the new covenant. 8 old covenant names for Jehovah. There were compound names. There were Jehovah, which meant Lord, compounded with another name, which meant something else. So it would mean Lord my something. And it's according to the name that was used. And I want to give them to you. And we've got notes on these. And if you want them, just ask. And we'll get them to you. We've got tapes and teachings on this. And so I can't get into it real deeply. But I think I can say enough that will help us and plant the thought and plant the seed. So that all I'm trying to do is when we come to prayer, that we'll be seeking Father. And not Jehovah or not Jesus or not Holy Spirit. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord my provider. We sang it tonight, right? But John 14, verses 13 and 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Who becomes the provider in the new covenant? Jesus. Do you see? So that the Father, not Jehovah, but that the Father can be glorified. Jehovah Jireh is fulfilled in Jesus. Not done away, but fulfilled. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord my healer. Who is the great healer? I don't have to quote you scriptures on that. If you want healing, do you pray to Jehovah? Who do you ask to heal your body? Who was it that who gave us stripes for our healing? By His stripes we are healed. Not Jehovah, it was Jesus. He is the healer. Third one, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. In the Old Covenant, you lifted up the name of Jehovah. Who's on our banner? Jesus said in John 12 and 32, He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Who do we lift up? Jesus. I'm wanting you to see, folks, Jehovah's Old Covenant name, Jesus' New Covenant name, not done away with, but fulfilled into. Fourth one, Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord my sanctifier. But 1 Corinthians 6 and 11 says, but you were washed. Were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Not done away with. Who becomes the sanctifier in the new covenant? Jesus. Number 5, Jehovah Shalom. Shalom means peace. The Lord, my peace. But in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. Not Jehovah's peace. Whose peace did? My peace. My peace leave I with you. Now, I'm going to get into this in just a second, but biblical and scriptural peace is not a warm feeling inside of you. I'll get it later. I just no need repeating myself. I'll just talk about this in a few minutes. But he says, Jehovah Shalom. Jesus says, I'm the peace. Jehovah Tishkenu, the Lord my righteousness. But in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, it says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Your redemption, your sanctification is not through Jehovah, but through who? Jesus. Not done away with, but fulfilled. Jehovah Roy, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah was the shepherd of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Psalms 23 talks about the good shepherd. It talks about the shepherd, David's shepherd. But in John 10:14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, is the good shepherd done away with? Or is he fulfilled? Number 8, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, he is there. Matthew 28 and 20 says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who's with us? Who's the ever-present one? Amen. Now, what I'm trying to show us is it's okay if you pray. A lot of people, when they holler with the name of Father, they want to use these names. And that's fine, because Jesus said this. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he says, the words that I speak only what Father says to me. So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to elevate us into a higher dimension and something that I believe that the Lord has revealed to us over these past years, and to me specifically in these last few weeks. But the Jews at Pentecost had to be baptized into the name of Jesus. They, remember, we're going to read it after a while when we baptize Susan. But do you remember that they came to Peter and the word that Peter preached their heart? And they said, what must we do to be saved? And they said, repent and be what? Baptized into the name of Jesus, not Jehovah. Now, these are Jews. You see, covenants changed. Lords changed. We come now into Jesus, not Jehovah. But the balance is always there. And you got to remember that if that's what you do and that's the way you pray, then there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm trying to do tonight is just show us and bring us into Father. And just clarify Father to us. Jesus said to hallowed the name of Father. So I focus on Father tonight. But what is Father? What does Father do? What I did is I sat down at my computer, I began to type scriptures about Father, just the ones that relate to the Father in heaven. And I got from Matthew 3:9 through John 16:3. I've still got 21 more to go in the book of John, and I've still got 76 more to go and from the book of Acts to the book of Revelation. I've still got 97 more scriptures to look up which concern Father, which art in heaven. And here's what I've got so far, just about Father. I want you to know something, folks. The Bible tells us a lot about Father. He's important. Now, how many say this could be an eternal teaching? He's an eternal Father.
Amen.
And so I said, Lord, I can't teach all this. Long preaching. We falling out the windows, wouldn't we, Roger? The word Father is found 418 times in the New Testament Greek. And most of those refer to the Heavenly Father. So I wanted to know what Jesus meant when he spoke about Father. I want to know what it meant when you talk about hallowing the name of Father. So what I tried to do was look, and I finally found a passage of Scripture that compresses all of this into about 10 points. What I want to do tonight is give you 10 points that you can take and use as you hallow the name of Father. 10 points, and I think it's going to get us excited. I want you to look with me in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and I'll read through verse 6. And from this, I want to draw 10 points. Now, what I would really like is one of you young people that has a pretty nice handwriting to come up here and help me. That's not taking notes. Or is anyone not taking notes Marty, are you? You taking notes?
They're all taking notes.
They're all taking notes tonight, aren't they? They're all getting paper from you. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I'll have to do it. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want somebody to help me because it'll take me too long. Grace. Come on up here, Gracie. Yeah. Come on, Grace. Let's go, Grace. What I want to do. We love Gracie, Grace. Now, you want to have 10 of them, okay? So you're going to have to write just a little small. And why don't you move it over there just a little bit so everybody can see it? All right? Yeah, just drag it over there carefully. All right, let's read. Read with me verses 1 through verse 6. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside... What is that? I marked on that. I can't read. As what? As aliens. That's what it says. As aliens. How many know that our citizenship is not in this world?
Amen.
We're aliens, aren't we? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Walker, and throughout Catoosa, and throughout Chattooga, throughout Dade, and throughout Hamilton. Is that all right now? I'm not really adding to the word. I hope you understand. I'm making it relevant. All right? I want us to understand that this is written to the saints of God. Who are what? Chosen.
Praise God.
Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
Hallelujah.
By the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you.
Hallelujah.
Who are protected by the power of God through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Even though, now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Even though you're distressed by various trials, Peter says, there is something we can rejoice about, and it's Father's work.
Hallelujah.
Number one, we're chosen. Number one, Grace. No, they can't see it over there. Come on, Grace. Let's keep going. Number one, chosen according to His foreknowledge. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now we talk about this here a lot. You didn't wake up one day and decide that you was going to get saved. Now, I don't know if you know that or not. Do you know that God chose you? No, you got a whole lot to write. According, just put right chosen, Grace. Romans 8:29, listen. Romans 8:29 says, who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among what? Many brethren. Many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, he also did what? Choose. And whom he chose, he also did justify. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I want us to understand that we need to hallow the name of Father simply because he chose us. The first thing that we ought to thank him for is, God, I thank you for choosing me, for translating me out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of your dear son. Father, I thank you, Father, you didn't have to choose me. You just chose me because you foreknew me, because it was predestined in your great foreknowledge. Somehow in God's mind, he knew me before I was conceived. Before the foundations of the world, he chose me.
Hallelujah.
Now that gets me happy right off the bat in prayer.
Amen.
Number one, he chose me according to his foreknowledge. And I love that Romans 8 passage. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? When we come before Father, the very first thing I always do is, Father, I just thank you for choosing me. Number two, he sanctified me and is sanctifying me by the work of the Spirit. Just write, Spirit. That's good enough. How many is glad for the Spirit of God?
Praise God.
In Ephesians 1:13, it says, you were sealed in him with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. Tell you, we ought to get happy here in a minute now. Tebow likes that one. A lot of Baptist folks here tonight, you ought to like that one. We were sealed in him.
Praise God.
I am sealed in him. Because of his Spirit. It's not that I can just talk in tongues, and it's not that I can just prophesy, and it's not that I can just dance. It's because I'm sealed in him that I can hallow at his name. By the work of the Spirit, Willis, he gave me his Spirit.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallowed be your name, Father. Luke 11:13. Now, some of you tonight, as we begin to hallow the name of the Lord, you may just want his Spirit in a fuller way. And we call it here the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what you can do, and in Luke 11:13 says this, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All you got to do is ask him. But he sealed you with the Spirit whether you've asked him for it or not.
Amen.
Hallowed be his name.
Praise God.
Third thing. You right, obey Jesus. Ability to obey Jesus Christ. The ability to obey Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:1 says, you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Barry, are you glad you don't have to sin anymore? Folks, we don't have to sin anymore. We have the ability to be obedient. We have a power because of his Spirit. We have a power that's in us that can say no to sin, because sin no longer hath dominion over me. I don't have to sin. You know why I sin? Because I want to sin. Because I hadn't crucified the flesh yet. It keeps getting off the cross. I have the ability to obey Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Hallowed be your name. I adore you. I praise you. Father, I thank you that I don't have to sin. That I am not under the wiles of the devil anymore. He is not my prince. He is not my master. I have a new master. I've been translated into a new kingdom. Hallowed be your name. Now, anytime you guys want to get in this with me, it's fine. Number four, sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord every day for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Every day. Three reasons I thank Him for the blood. Number one, Exodus chapter 12 tells us this. Father says, Lord says, I'm not sure, I won't say Father, it's probably Jehovah. Anyway, it says, if I come and I see the blood, I'll do what? I'll pass over you. Now, I want you to hear something. He comes and he looks at this old boy. He's not looking for my sin. What's he looking for?
Blood.
The blood. He's looking for the blood.
Amen.
And I thank Father that He sprinkled me with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise.
Number one, when the Lord comes, He's not looking at my sin. He's looking for the blood. Number two, the reason that I thank Him for the blood is it's washed me from my sin. John 1:7 says that we are washed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise.
I'm not guilty of my sins anymore.
Hallelujah.
I'm washed from them. I'm cleansed from them. It washed me white as snow. Though I be as nasty, I'm washed as scarlet. I'm washed white as what?
Yes.
As white as snow.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Number three, the reason that I thank Him for the blood. Revelation chapter 12 tells me this. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. By the blood. And He comes. He'll come every day. He'll come every day. And He'll tell you, you sin. You messed up. And you know what? He's probably right. Huh? He may be right. I don't have to sin. I made that clear a while ago. But He probably come and He may be right. But can He accuse me? He's cast down because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He's cast down. I'm washed from my sins. And when the Lord comes, He'll pass over me. There'll be no judgment because He's not looking for my sin. He's looking for the blood. I thank Him for the blood. I thank Him for the blood. I'm sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Number five says that we have grace. How are you saved? By grace. I'm saved by grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's a gift of God. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved by works.
Right.
Saved by grace. And it's not my grace. It's His grace.
Hallelujah.
And I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace is sufficient for me. Is that all right? Thank you, Father, for your grace.
Amen.
Number six, peace to the fullest measure. Now, here we are. I told you I was going to say something about peace. Biblical peace is not a warm feeling. Biblical peace is your enemies under your feet.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. Now, listen to me. You put on the armor of God. What are you shod your feet with? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Why are they on your feet? You'll have peace when you stomp Him. You won't have peace until you do. The whole thing, the whole principle of peace is getting Him under your foot and crushing His head. Putting down those enemies, putting your foot on their head. It's the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15 says, my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No foe can stand. Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses that He is Lord to the glory of who? God the Father. Hallowed be your name. And He says, great mercy. Great mercy. Not just a little mercy. How much mercy? Great mercy. How many of you would rather have mercy than justice? Huh? Thank you, Lord, for your hallowed be your name, Lord.
Praise God.
Lord, thank you for your mercy. We wouldn't be here if he gave us justice. Huh? We'd be done gone to be with him. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Oh, man. His great mercy. His mercy endures how long?
Forever.
Man. Forever. That's something to hallow him for, isn't it, Michelle? Father, hallowed be your name. And then it says there, he causes us to be born again. Am I reading the Bible now?
Right.
You didn't wake up one day and decide you're going to get born again.
Right.
What did he do? He caused you.
Right.
He caused you to be born again.
Right.
He'll do some of the strangest things. We think it's the devil. Do you know who's doing it? It's his amazing grace. You're saved by grace. God does things in our life so that he'll cause us to get born again. My life had gotten in such a mess, I had to cause. I'm glad he caused me to get. He let me things go so rotten in my life. I felt so bad about this boy. I felt so bad about me. I didn't like me a bit. And he caused me to be born again. Where's Wayne? I better not use him tonight, Hatta. He caused Dwayne to be born again.
Right.
Shut down his life, man. He caused him to come to God. I thank you, Lord. Now, you know, when you're going through that time, you don't like it. You know, you really wished it could be another way. Well, after you've gone through it and you found what it worked in your life and how it caused you to be born again, it's worth it. It's worth it. He says he caused us to be born again. Father did that. Father did that. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Is that what John 3 tells me?
Right.
I must be. I am born into the household of God. I am born into the church. I am born into the body. I am born again. And Father caused it. Now, I woke up one day and decided I'd better go to church. But he caused me to make that decision. Do you understand? He caused me. Thank you, Father. Hallowed be your name for causing me to be born again. Number 9, obtained. What are you doing? 7 is great mercy. 8 is caused to be born again. 9 is obtained an inheritance. Obtained an inheritance. I want you to know you have already obtained, past tense, an inheritance. And it's imperishable, and it's undefiled, and it will not fade away. I want you to know today, folks, you have eternal life. If I died right now, listen, if I died right now, I wouldn't sleep 1,000 years and then wake up with the Lord. I would just be there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's eternal. I'm alive forever, folks. I'm just going to go on and on and on. I have an inheritance, and it's an eternal inheritance. It's an imperishable inheritance. It's an undefiled inheritance, and it won't fade away. Now, I'm not in any hurry, you understand. Preacher asked that question. He said, how many of you is ready to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hands except one old guy sitting on the front row. He says, you're not ready to go to heaven? And he says, oh, yeah. He says, I just didn't know if you was going to get up a trip right now. He obtained for us an inheritance. Hallowed be your name. Number 10. Protected by the power of God through faith. I am protected by the power of God through faith. Now, if I said to you, now we got some visitors, and I want you to know I'm really like this. This is how I am. I started to say I'm really not like this, but I really am. This is the way I really am. But But if I said to you that I really believe that I have an angel watching over me, would you think I'm crazy?
No.
And let's look at that. Let's just look at Matthew chapter 18 and 10. So you'll look at it in your Bible and you'll know it. Matthew 18 and 10. That's good. You can be dismissed. You're a good helper.
Thank you.
Protected by the power of God. Matthew 18. Let's back up from verse 10 and let's read verse 7 through 11. Matthew 18. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. How sure is it that stumbling blocks will come? It's inevitable. It's pretty sure, isn't it? But what does he say? But woe to that man. Now he's talking about a stumbling block, but what's he really talking about? A person. But woe to that person through whom the stumbling block comes. Now look what he says. And if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, do what with it? Cut it off. But what's he really talking about? People that causes you to stumble. Are you hearing me now? This is what we've got to learn is, man, when somebody's in our life and it's causing us to mess up, folks, you better cut him off. You better cut her off. It's better to go in maimed than not go in at all. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter the life crippled or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell or fire. It's better, folks, listen to me. It's better to have no friends at all than to have friends that cause you to stumble. Verse 10, here's my angel. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. I'm a little one. You're a little one. For I say to you that they're what? Angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And he's doing it, folks. And I got an angel that's helping him. Amen. And you know he's protecting me. He says here, he's protected me by the power of God through faith. Through faith. I have to believe I've got an angel. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Now, I've got an angel. I'm protected by the power of God. But woe to those who cause me to stumble. Father, hallowed are your name. Hallowed is your name, Father. Thank you for your protection. Verse 6, back in Peter, says this. In this you greatly rejoice. In this you greatly rejoice. How many believe you could really get into some rejoicing when you start going through this in your prayer life? It's like putting on the armor of God. I can't wait till we get into that one. I told you this morning about Steve. Steve put on this armor of God. He says, boy, the thing was over. And he picked up that sword. He was swinging around, slicing the air, slicing demons. He was slicing the north, south, east, and the west. He was going after it. I'm telling you, folks, prayer is something else. You can get excited praying. And it's fun. You would laugh at me. Jesus said, when you pray, do it this way. Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many sees what all Father's done for us? Father's the provider of the family. Do you think our Father has provided us sufficiently? Has he taken care of us? Has he protected us? Has he given us our provision? Has he gave us his grace? He's made every provision for us. And when you start seeing what Father's done for us, we ought to be able to really enter in to hallowing his name. So what I want to do, I want the praise team just to come on up here, all of them. And I want to stand and I want to hallow his name. And you visitors, just have a good time watching us. If you can't enter in with us, I ask you to. But we're just going to hallow the name of Father. We're just going to thank him. I want to lead you in it. I'm going to stay up here. And you can just move that Steve out of the way. No, not just yet. Tebow's going to sing us. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a second. And then I'm going to begin to lead you into... No, I think yours is in there. That one's bad then. And then I'm going to ask you to hallow the name of Father. We're just going to enter in. We're just going to have a time here of hallowing his name. So let's stand. Let's stand.